Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyndale's the motion fullback leading Thurman Thomas, and the Bills are quickly on the board. Their first drive, they made it look easy against the Miami defense that time, ladies and gentlemen. Too easy.
That is the 1995 wild card matchup between the Bills and Dolphins. And the Bills ultimately win that game 37-22. They lead that game at one point 34-7 in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
They dominate them. Also, Tim Tyndale was in that highlight as mm-hmm. well. He had a 44-yard touchdown as well. Yeah. Not only did Thurman score a one-yard touchdown, Tim Tyndale scores a little bit later.
So, oddly enough, like in the Bills make it easy. Well, that is also what's going on with this current regime.
Mm-hmm.
And, Zach and I both tweeted it out, what I ended up saying last segment and pointing out about a certain quarterback situation.
Yeah. And with that, I do want to start this off with our first guest of today, Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. And Sal, first, good morning. But also, there is a quarterback on the Dolphins roster that has two wins compared to two is one. Do you know who it is?
Oh, wow. two wins this year?
No, just two wins against the Bills in his career.
Oh, two wins against the Bills in his career. Well, geez, Mike White's gone, so it wouldn't be him anyway. Man, I'm trying to think. Zach Wilson.
Yep. Number zero for the Miami Dolphins. He technically, because he doesn't ultimately start that week one game where Rodgers gets hurt, but he technically has two wins. Tua is 1-8 in his career against the Bills.
And in addition, Zach Wilson has beaten the Bills more recently than Tua has.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you have to you go back to the game in New York where the Bills lost. Josh Allen was with Terrell Bernard was out that game, right? Mm-hmm. Is that the game? Josh Allen. Bills
week,
lost.
Week 9,
well,
2022.
Zach started
yeah.
that game, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and then what was the other one? Maybe one that didn't. What was the other Zach Wilson game?
That's the Rodgers one.
Yeah, the Rodgers one where he goes in.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I see what you're mm-hmm. saying. So, yeah, so one he started, one he didn't. But, yeah, he played in that game. You're right. Hey, listen, I mean, it's not – and I know we say Tua here, and, you know, I was on with the guys this morning, and I just think the Bills have figured out a good formula against him and this offense. They really have. It's an offense that relies on timing and rhythm. And I think Tua's a good quarterback. I think he's a much better quarterback when all those things are happening, though, right? And if they aren't, then he's going to struggle in a lot of regard. And the Bills have taken away those things that he relies on, that he needs to happen for him to be really successful. But when they are successful, they can be very dynamic. Even last year here in Buffalo, I mean, I went back and watched the game. Yes, last night, I went back and watched the game here in Buffalo last year where Tyler Bass hit the walk-off 61-yarder. And are close to walk-off, 61-yarder. And they had some success. I mean, they threw the ball down the field a little bit, and then they got the ball to their running backs in space, and the Bills had a tough time. So those kinds of things are what you have to watch out for this team tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Sal, on the offense, though, so Marcel Louis-Jacques of ESPN, he joined Shope and the Bulldog yesterday, and he brought up a really interesting point because I think many people on the outside – look at the Dolphins' culture as maybe like the biggest problem that they've got going on, right? Guys missing practice or showing up late to meetings, what have you. And Marcel brought up No, I think it's more people have started to really figure out the offense. And he looked to how Indianapolis, New England played them, taking away the first read from Tua, as you mentioned. You know, when things are going right, he's dialed in very accurate, what have you, and then also blitzing. And that's something the Bills have been able to do well. And even, I think, blitzing rate as well. The Bills have been up there this year compared to years past.
Yeah, and I would expect a little bit more of that tonight, especially considering both their right guard and right tackle who started the season are out. So they're kind of putting together the offensive line here, and you know that's to his blind side, right? Because he's a left-handed quarterback, so you could try to take advantage there. And they are blitzing a little bit more. The Bills want to dial up some pressure. When you have a loud stadium, communication is an issue. That also factors into maybe blitzing a little bit so they can't identify some rushers where they're coming from to get those to get that communication going. But the danger of blitzing is you have a really fast receiver in Tyreek Hill and a really fast receiver in Jalen Waddle and get down the field. And when the danger is blitzing is you leave your guys in the back end exposed. And if they do catch you, they can have a big play. So you do have to think about that. The other part of it is, again, go back to last year, what they did. The Dolphins did a really good job of it in the screen game. If you're going to blitz and your guys are kind of coming up field, you throw it right over the top of, you know, a blitzer and a couple blitzers and you get it to a running back in space. Now you got a convoy and only a few guys to block. So there are dangers that come along with blitzing, but I think the Bills in this game need to just be aggressive on both sides of the ball early because this is a team that you do not want to give life to. And I think they need to make it known by the middle of the first quarter, by halftime, yeah, you're done. You're going to be 0-3, and you're going to want to just go home.
And Sal, on that, I mean, I mentioned this with the Jets, too, with how their secondary played against Pittsburgh. Maybe the Bills want to go out and throw the ball, and they didn't really have all that much success early throwing the ball. It really was James Cook and also just the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball that really took that game away. But when you look at how injured the Dolphins secondary is, you do wonder at home, and like you mentioned, kind of you want to set the stage early. Could they go to the air and then try to like kind of run this game out and really just lean on this Dolphins team?
Yeah, I think that might be the path real quick, which is get after them early, throw the ball, take advantage of the secondary. The Dolphins they're near the bottom in the league. I believe I looked and I wrote this in my preview column, WGR550.com. I don't have the number in front of me. I think maybe 29th or 28th in the league in yards per play given up per pass. Over 9. The Dolphins through 2 games have given up over 9 yards of passing play, which is an astronomical number. It's a small sample size. You're going to have those early in the season. But, guys, that's against Daniel Jones and Drake May.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, there's opportunity to throw the ball here against this team. And I think the Bills would love to do that. That being said, you know, you do have a good running game in Buffalo. You want to keep Josh Allen healthy. And if you can just kind of do that as well, of course, you know, that could be a path to victory. And for the Dolphins, they're going to want to run the ball. Yes, they could throw the ball to those guys we talked about, but what's the path for them? Run the ball, keep the ball out of Josh Allen's hands, make it a shorter game to not give the Bills that opportunity to take advantage of their secondary.
Sal, of course, heading into the night, we'll look at the injury report here, the Barnes Firm injury report. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Taron Johnson, Cam Lewis, Shaq Thompson, all questionable. No Matt Milano, no Ed Oliver again for the second straight game.
Yeah, and we knew Ed Oliver would be out after last week. It was considered a multi-week injury, so the Bills, you know, did a nice job with Zion Logue coming up from the practice squad. And just so everybody knows, the team has until 4 p.m. today to make elevations. Now, we might not even know it right at 4 p.m. It might not be until, like, after that, but they have to notify the league and file it by 4 p.m. today for any practice squad elevations. Obviously, you're going to get a defensive tackle. Is that Zion Logue again, or is it Jordan Phillips? Not sure, but someone's going to be elevated. They're not going to roll with 3. For Matt Milano, they could also decide to, you know, elevate somebody at linebacker, or if Shaq Thompson's able to play, you don't need to do that because you have Joe Andreessen, you have Shaq Thompson. But with Milano's injury, you know, it's getting to a point here where you have to be a little concerned because Sean McDermott said there was a chance he could practice on Wednesday. He didn't. And then he said yesterday to me on his weekly radio interview, he said, you know, key with an injury like this is to see how things respond after, you know, a few days. Well, it's been a few days, and then see where it is next week. So not quite, you know, there where, oh, my gosh, what's going on? Is it long term? Here's the key, though. If the Bills do not put Matt Milano on injured reserve by today, by 4 p.m., I think that's a really encouraging sign because that means that he'll be back within the next, you know, 4 games at the very minimum. Because if they feel that he's going to be out longer term, they would, I would think, want to use that roster spot as soon as possible and they would have to put him on IR by 4 p.m. today for this game to count as one of the minimum of four to be missed.
Sal Cabaccio here on the Wester Hotline. Sal, last time we talked, you did mention, like, you're somebody that really, your heart's in this rivalry, right? Like, me and Derek of our generation, it's New England's much more that team. For you, though, when you look at this, it's not official, but the way the season has started for the Dolphins and the way the season's going for the Bills.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This very much could be the last time the Dolphins are in Highmark, this version of Highmark Stadium against the Bills. Has that really sat with you? And what's maybe your favorite memory of Bills Dolphins in Highmark Stadium?
I've tried to let it sit with me. I think I've tried to really think about that a lot. I did a video earlier this week I posted with some of my Highmark, my Dolphins at Bills Highmark memories, Highmark Stadium memories, Rich Stadium, the Ralph, whatever you want to call it. Excuse me. And, I go back a long time watching these games. A game I was not at, but still a great memory or bad memory, it's kind of both, is I grew up loving Jerry Butler. It's why I wore number 80 in high school. He was a Bills wide receiver. He was terrific. And this is when receivers wore 80, right? Jerry Rice, Jerry Butler, Steve Largent. Jerry Butler was my favorite player growing up. In 1986, Jerry Butler caught a great touchdown pass in the end zone for the Bills, and on the same play against the Dolphins, his leg was broken and he never played again. That was his final game. It was against the Dolphins in 1986, final play. He catches a touchdown pass and a broken leg, and he never plays NFL football again. And that sticks with me as a Dolphins memory, right? I wasn't at that game, but that's a Dolphins memory. I was not at the game where Carwell Gardner and Brian Cox got into it fighting, and Brian Cox got ejected and was spitting on the field on his way out. And I do remember going to games though where Brian Cox coming out of the tunnel and people giving him all heck and him with the double bird salute and all that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, like, that's the rivalry that I remember. You guys played the clip coming in 95, right? That game, that was just the Bills just blasted the Dolphins. Yeah. And they just went up. The Dolphins had no answer. It's Thurman Thomas. We call that the Tim Tyndale game, by the way, if you're my age. And Derek, look up the box score. There was another running back named Derek Holmes in that game who got off on them as well.
Yeah, 15 right? for 87
those are the games
and a
that I remember.
Touchdown.
But then you have the shootouts. Then you have the shootouts, and you have, you know, Dan Marino, Jim Kelly, 44-34 in the snow. And, you know, obviously a great battle right there between the two. And, yeah, it just goes back a long way, and there's a lot of hey, I'll tell you, it was a loss, but I'm thinking back now. Now that I've never even thought about this. It was a loss, but my wife's first ever Bills game was against the Dolphins.
Oh, wow.
She came up before we got married. She came up to, you know, hang out in Buffalo, meet the family, and we went to the Bills-Dolphins game. I believe it was 2002. It was not a good day. The Bills lost that game, but that's my wife's first game.
I mean, would you look at that? You know, the rivalry's there. It's not in Highmark Stadium, but for me at least, when I thought Allen had arrived, it's that game down in Miami where I think he throws for 400 yards. You got the John Brown touchdown where he does the windmill. I mean, there's a lot of connections for Bills Dolphins, of course, being the AFC East rivals. But, you know, recently as well, it's sort of Derek mentioned it too. They break the drought because they beat the Dolphins down in Miami. Of course, Cincinnati has to do their part too, but that's the team they beat. You know, there's a lot there to it. All right, Sal, we'll let you get out of here. You got a long day ahead of you, so we'll let you get out of here so you can maybe rest up, get your electrolytes going. It's going to be a long one, but it should be a good one.
You guys got it. Thanks a lot.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the Western Hotline. Sal will also be along for pregame as well with Shope and the Bulldog, which will be starting at 3 o'clock. It will be on video. Don't you worry, bullpen crazies. It will be on video. Me and G will be here in the studio, and then those two will be down at the stadium. So if you got time, if you're down there, go give it a check out. I think they're going to be around Lot 5. It's going to be near, I think, Ralph Wilson statue.
Right.
I think that's where they're going to be. So it should be a wonderful night.
It should be a good night. Please give me something of entertainment value here today, Dolphins. I know the Bills are going to do their part.
I got my entertainment value. I found out Zach Wilson has a better record versus the Bills than Tua.
You're welcome.
I'm good.
You are welcome. My hatred for the Bills losing to Zach Wilson inexplicably twice in their lives has fueled enough fire for me to actually have found this stat.
So I also did some digging as well just to kind of point out where the Dolphins are. Like as an organization and how far they've fallen. We all know the undefeated stuff, and we know where they were really initially when the NFL, as we know it, got going. The early Super Bowl wins in 72 and 73. With that being said, though, the last time they won a Super Bowl, the best picture winner at the Oscars was The Sting, a movie I have never heard of.
Same.
In 1973, in 1972, was The Godfather.
I've heard of that one.
Heard of that one. Their last playoff win comes in 2000 against the Colts.
I want to include Joe Cali on this one real quick. Do you know the top box office movie in 2000 when you were very much not alive,
ooh,
by the way?
Ooh. Highest grossing movie in 2000?
Yeah.
Shrek.
I think it's 2002.
I respect that guess.
Did it come out in 2002?
I think it's 2002.
I thought it was earlier.
I'm going to double check that while Zach gives you the answer.
Toy Story was like 1999. That was before
you
I was born.
We were close. 2001.
I knew it was before I was born.
All right. Well, I don't have the highest grossing movie of 2000. I do have the best picture winner.
Mm-hmm.
That is Gladiator, which we've just recently got a sequel for after 20 years. It's been 23 years since they've won a playoff game. Gladiator wins the best picture the year they do that against an early Peyton Manning.
I've got the 2000 movie,
I have it as well.
I don't have a guess. I wish I had a guess. I don't have one.
All right. How should we give them this
hint? Because it's not The Phantom Menace, so it's not Star Wars.
No, it's not, because that came out in 1999.
It's not Titanic.
It's not Titanic. I will tell you the best domestic grossing movie was How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Yep, with Jim Carrey.
That's what I thought it was, right?
That's domestic.
Okay. I don't know the other
worldwide,
one.
Worldwide, it was Mission Impossible 2.
Oh.
Really?
Cool.
Yes.
They're still making those. That's awesome.
Well, they actually just finished making those.
No, they're going to make spinoffs. Come on. What are we kidding here?
It's just they have been.
It's now Mission Possible.
You know, as fun as tonight will be, and we just went through some of the memories there with Sal, the Dolphins have really been in such a bad spot for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills go through a 17-year playoff drought.
Right.
And they end up winning a playoff game before the Dolphins do.
Yep.
In that same period.
And the Jets currently in the midst of a 13-year playoff drought. They have gone to several AFC championship appearances.
For as bad as they've been.
The Jets have been there to the AFC Championship before Miami has. And it is just, it's tough to see it like that. But at the same time, I don't really feel bad for the Dolphins.
No, I find it's nice to look at that, you know, the last time they were really relevant in the NFL, The Godfather and The Sting are winning Best Picture nominations.
And the last time they won a playoff game, Mission Impossible 2 was raking in money.
Like, the best way I can put it, too, Rocky's not a movie yet. It has its own spinoff that has done three movies itself.
Radio's Joe Cali wasn't alive the last time they won a playoff game. The whole world has changed.
I mean, like
it changed.
That's how long it's been since they've been a really relevant organization in the NFL. And they've had blips and moments. Don't get me wrong. Dan Marino was their quarterback in the 80s and 90s. But in terms of them winning a Super Bowl, Rocky's not a thing yet. It comes out in 76.
Mm-hmm. By the way, you mentioned The Sting. That has Robert Redford in it.
I've never heard of that movie. Mm-hmm. And it wins Best Picture, and it has Robert Redford in it? I've never heard of it. Now I'm going to have to watch it.
There you go.
I mean, not tonight. I am very busy today.
Why? Why? What's going on?
Things are happening. Not tonight.
Why? What's going on?
803-0550, the number to call. Vibe check for tonight. Bold predictions as well. Love to hear your thoughts as Bills will be taking on the Miami Dolphins tonight for Thursday Night Football. If you're outside of the Buffalo TV market, there we go, baby. There we go. If you're outside of the Buffalo TV market, it is going to be, of course, an Amazon Prime game. But here locally, you also can listen to the game on GR and, of course, your local channels as well. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.